is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker somewhere in Alpha Centauri region. You know the drill. My name is Michael Dean. I am the Iron Hamster. I'm joined by Mr. Randy England, the Wampus Cat. I hear him Wampus Catting. Can I get a Wampus Cat? Yeah. Anyway, Randy England.
Oh, Michael. I can't do that. It takes me a moment. You know what I mean?
I think there's copyright issues, and I think you'll get a DMCA from the Wampus Cat Union.
Takedown notice.
Yeah. Who else we got there? We got Lou. You there, Lou? You there?
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
It's the Chop Chop Rooster.
Yep. So this is the Freedom Fiends, and it's all beef all the time. That's what I've been told. Somebody commented today about yesterday's podcast. They called it on Facebook. They called it Michael Dean's Ad Hominem Face Beef Extravaganza. And then they said that the show is awful, and they called me a fed. You know, you're nobody until somebody calls you a fed in Liberty, I think. Isn't that the rule?
That's still waiting for mine.
Yeah. So we're doing something cool tonight. We're doing the first three-way fiend phone test. Chime in, gentlemen.
Yo, yo, yo. Is it
Randy
or is
England.
It Comrex?
And if you can hear all of us talking at the same time or walking over each other,
yeah,
it's working.
Yep. Let's do that. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
I'm a country boy.
Yeah, thank God I'm a country boy. Yep. Skype cannot do that. That's impossible. So, you know, we don't want to talk about other libertarians and how wrong they are, but they keep being wrong. So somebody sent me this. Jim Jesus sent me this. It's Stefan Molyneux going full on statist, which is it's Stefan Molyneux backing the state and saying that if you don't pay taxes on the cigarettes you sell on the street, you're creating victims of the honest store owners that pay taxes on the cigarettes and the honest people who pay those $14 per pack taxes in New York City. So here we go. Ugh. Well, you know, I'm kind of glad, though. I'm Randy, you got to back off your mic. I'm kind of glad because, like, I want Stefan to get off the anarcho train. I want him to be full on state licking. And then maybe people will see him for what he is. So here we go.
But in this particular case, he may not have been. And he's just there selling cigarettes. In other words, there's no victim from him. But he's going to get, you know, tackled.
That's not
and then
Molyneux.
Just like with
That's
any other
car.
Law, you can be thrown in a cage or killed if you resist.
Well, but hang on a sec. Hang
this
on a
is
sec.
Molyneux.
So no victim.
For him selling cigarettes?
Absolutely, there is.
Okay, well, I've missed that one. What would you say?
The victim is the people who are obeying the law.
So, okay, now that's interesting. I'm surprised that you make
Hey, Nathan, be handy with
you got it.
The dump on this. I haven't screened this. All right.
You got that it. Connection there, Steph. Just because, for me, like, because they are victimized by the state by, like, you know, like, I guess, like, vendor licensing laws there.
Well, no. I mean, there is that, obviously. There's property taxes, and there's the expensive
patent
to have a shop.
But Eric Garner isn't imposing that on him.
No, but it's the cigarette taxes, right?
Well, that's
and the fact
that's,
that cigarettes
one,
that sure. Yeah, but so there's cigarette taxes, and as far as I understand it, I'm pretty sure about this, that store owners are not allowed to sell single cigarettes, and so he's able to.
But that wouldn't be. But they wouldn't be the victim of him because he's selling cigarettes loosely. It's just that he's playing outside the rules.
I like that the caller is schooling him at his own game. Like, Molyneux's gone off the rails, is fully backing the state and saying people should not engage in free market commerce. And his caller, who he probably trained back when Molyneux made sense, is saying, but no. I think this caller might be Nathan, who calls into Free Talk Live a lot and is a Fiend fan. I'm not sure, but
he's very polite and nice, but
yeah,
this is kind of shocking.
This is shocking.
I mean, he's saying, pay your taxes, people.
Let's keep listening.
The victimization is from the state to the store owners there, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I get that. But they can't do anything about that, right? I mean, they can't do anything about cigarette taxes. But they can get the guy who's undercutting them and taking away their business off the sidewalk that their taxes pay for.
Sure,
again,
no, I
was talking
that.
About this within the context of the situation, but just saying, oh, well, he was selling cigarettes, there was no victim. Well, there was. Because if there was no victim, why was anyone calling about this. If I go for a stroll in the woods, there's no victim, right? And so nobody's, oh my God, cops, call a guy in the woods, right? I mean, so somebody was bothered by what he was doing, and somebody felt, or I guess a number of people felt, that his presence was negatively impacting their lives in some manner, in a significant enough manner to call the police. And so
at first I thought maybe he was playing devil's advocate in this. But he's not, and it goes on and it goes on. Have I played enough of this, guys, or do I need to play some more of this to really make the point? What do you think?
Well, I think got ear cancer from
pretty
it.
Pretty clear. He says the victim of the guy selling the loose cigarettes are the people who obey the law.
Lou?
I have ear cancer from listening to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, there is a way that he could be right, but it would not involve a single thing that he said. And what it comes down to is, all right, the caller is correct that the store owner is victimized by the prohibition against selling loose cigarettes or single cigarettes, if you want to call it that. If the store owner actually owns a sidewalk and Garner is out on his property taking away business that would go to him, you know, he should be giving a cut of the sales to the store person. Matter of fact, he should probably be working for the store person. And if Garner has great connections to get black market cigarettes from other places that are dirt cheap, he should probably be selling them to the store so that they can sell them.
Yeah.
But
well, if this,
No. This whole thing about taxes, all right. And first of all, liberals, when you say there ought to be a tax on something, all those taxes are enforced at the barrel of a gun.
Yeah, you're saying that people like Eric Garner should be killed. That's what there ought to be a tax is saying, or a law. Yeah.
Yeah, the end is enforced at the barrel of a gun, the end of a nightstick, or a chokehold. Now, with him selling the cigarettes out there, you know, he's just taking advantage of the situation that was created. The real enemy here is the state. It's the taxes. It's the prohibition against a single cigarette or the Lucy. And Molyneux just went full potato.
Full potato.
Yeah, how about this, though? You know, to say that the victim are the people obeying the law, which would be either the consumer that pays the tax or that the store owner, they are the victim, but they're not the victim of Eric Garner. They're the victim of the state.
Yeah.
Could Molyneux have meant that?
No. He says it over and over and over, man. I mean, we could play some more of it.
No, please don't.
Yeah, I can't stand his voice. And he has a filthy mouth, man. And this is radio, and I don't want to accidentally, you know, he'd probably say I'm square for worrying about the FCC. But, you know, I remember Chris Cantwell used to call me square for being on radio. He's like, he was speaking himself like, I'm on a podcast. I get to say the F word. You're square because you're on radio. And then he like weaseled his way into being on radio with Free Talk Live, being a third wheel Wednesdays on Free Talk Live. Yeah. Square.
Yeah.
Man.
I don't exactly drop the F bomb too often myself, whether I'm on radio or not. So maybe it's just your own personal choice to be a little bit cleaner than the standards that are required. Cause I know that you have gotten on me about saying stuff that's not on the 7 dirty words, but
yeah, well, you know, there's also,
like, no, that's not acceptable.
There's also, I mean, I'm basically doing that for the station owners. There's stuff that station owners don't like that some of them will kick you off for, even if it's not an FCC violation. And the FCC violations are kind of amorphous. Like, they do not publish a list somewhere of these are words you can't say. It's basically like they know it when they see it. You know, it's government. So you have to kind of like be overly careful. But, you know, I learned this from Henry Rollins. Like, Henry Rollins never swears in any of his songs, which I always thought was kind of square for like such angry, angry punk rock tunes. But I mean, in Black Flag he did, but on his solo records, when he got a little older and wiser, he never swore on any of his songs. And he said, like, I have a subversive message and I don't want to keep some kid from hearing it because someone puts a sticker on it. I don't want some kid to not hear it. I don't want some kid to not hear it because they won't play it on radio. So, you know, basically you can be more subversive and truthful. I mean, that's what subversion is telling the truth. You know, it's kind of a challenge, but if you put away childish things and cannot cuss in your media, you could reach a lot more ear holes, man. And I'm all for that. Molyneux cusses like a filthy French sailor or something. So generally,
but he's not on the radio, so it doesn't matter.
Although he calls himself Free Domain Radio, it's a lie. He's being it's fraud. I would say that's word fraud. I don't know if it's legal fraud, but I think in the court of Ancapistan, people would shun him. But apparently libertarians aren't very good at shunning. And I'm really curious to see this video he did today that we were just playing, Racist Until Proven Innocent, which I haven't had a chance to hear other than this section Jim Jesus pointed me to. Apparently there's a bunch of racist stuff in it, too. But I'm really curious how his no government men, voluntarist, libertarian, anarcho-capitalist listeners are going to feel about him going full on potato statist and loving the state and licking the state in this. What do you guys think?
I Randy? Think you said it all right there. I'm not surprised after the things that have done. I mean, this is a fellow who does not mind going using the government guns to go after people who try to criticize him. And so why not?
Embrace the government. That's what Molyneux is saying with this.
It seems to be happening.
And with me, I mean, yeah, Molyneux's been an important part in my movement
20 years ago.
From my data to accepting liberty as my new way of life and everything. And he does have some great videos out there that are still classics. But what he's been doing over the past couple months, I mean, I just can't get behind it. I can't co-sign that nonsense.
Yeah, it's been more than a few months. It's been about a year now, but
that I don't really listen to him that much. I mean, I've never listened to a whole episode of the show. I catch, you know, like some of the little videos here and there. And I'm really only interested in, you know, the 5 to 20 minute videos, like the story of your enslavement or something like that. I mean, the air stuff, it never appealed to me.
I think the story of your enslavement's about an hour, but now he just basically makes videos that are 5 minute videos saying that if you don't donate money to him, liberty will die. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends, doing the first three-way fiend phone full show ever. Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Do you believe in free speech? Jay Raven had her True Shives YouTube channel taken down. We believe this censorship was wrong, and we believe the channel is a clear example of free speech. Many people are bullied on the internet, but Jay Raven actually stood up to the bullying. She has filed a self-defense lawsuit against the individuals who took down the channel. The outcome of this suit could be very important to the future of free speech. Learn more at trueshibes.com. That's Tango, Romeo, Uniform, Sierra, Hotel, India, Bravo, Echo, Sierra.com. Trueshibes.com.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Molyneux went full-on statist. You don't ever go full-on statist. Lou, you're going to do some radio-friendly cussing here for us. What you got?
This is Feinsteining Bull Schumer. I'm sick of these sons of Bloomberg's bothering me. I just want to kick them right in the Christies.
Cantwell, Barbara Streisand. Yeah, okay. I got it out of my system. So, Randy wanted...
Hank Johnson.
Who?
What? Hank Johnson.
Who's that?
That's the idiot that said that the island of Guam would tip over if there were too many soldiers on the island.
Yep. And we just got an email from Nathan, the Ninja Squirrel, who said that that was not him calling into Molyneux, although he can see why people would think that was him. And he, well, no, he didn't say that. He said he would have acted similarly how the caller did, trying to gently correct him. Whereas I would have been like, you've gone full-on statist, Molyneux. Yeah. What, Randy?
You've gone potato.
What does potato mean? I like it. Is it fake cussing?
No, not really. It's when somebody comes up with some really nonsensical stuff and their justification is, well, because potato. Yeah. It's like saying because government.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Because potato. Okay.
We have roads because government.
Yeah. Say, Randy, what were you going to say about Guam?
About Guam? Well, yeah. I don't think that Guam would tip over if the Marines were distributed evenly. It was only if they got a beachhead on one side, right?
I mean, if anything, the extra weight might cause it to sink a couple of inches, maybe, well, you know, maybe even a foot. But,
you know, most politicians went to government school, so it's not surprising they'd think something like that.
Hey, and just remember, Hank Johnson is part of government. And when you say we need government, you're saying we need Hank Johnson, the moron that thinks that I would tip over.
Yeah.
And those idiots are the only thing keeping us from going down the toilet.
Randy?
Somebody told me. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Tell me. What do you got, brother?
Well, I was going to say about the thing with Guam. Somebody told me that they believed that that congressman who is supposed to, I mean, it sounds really stupid, like he was really ignorant. And somebody told me that nobody could be that ignorant and that he was playing the fool just to get the goat of this. Was it a general or something, or an admiral? It was some high officer that was testifying, and he knew that this military man would have to sit there and that he could say the most absurd, ignorant thing, and this military guy would have to stay polite and not just break down and say, you are the biggest moron I've ever met in my life, and that it was a deliberate ploy to force that general or whatever he was to just keep playing the straight man to his comedy.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe
I don't think so.
That's plausible. If it is, I love it. What?
I'm not buying it. If he was playing the fool, give him an Academy Award, but I think he was serious. And I can tell you this, as a former military man, any military man worth his salt, particularly an enlisted, should be able to deal with that psychotic babble of stupidity and come back with a polite, sarcastic remark.
Lou, thank you for your cervix. Like that?
Yes, you're getting exactly. A little blue, Michael.
I went a little blue exactly. There. Yeah.
The perfect response to that would be, well, Congressman, we have tested it out on other islands, and our researchers have looked at the makeup of the ground there and the sediment settings and all this other stuff, and we've determined that we could have even more, you know, probably twice as many troops as we're proposing.
Yeah.
And we have invaded islands before, and it hasn't been a problem.
What do you mean we?
Who's this we of which you speak? I've never invaded an island.
I'm the general who's talking.
You look like a general. I think you need some mirrored aviator glasses and a cigar, Randy. And you can tell us what to do.
No, I don't have a cigar. I have a long cigarette holder right here.
Do you smoke? You don't smoke, do you, Randy?
No, but MacArthur does.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey,
no,
you know,
I don't.
I've been encouraging people to change their last name on the internet to Feenman, F-E-E-N-M-A-N. And a second person did it today. Mav Feenman, M-A-V-F-E-E-N-M-A-N. He was Mav Feen, but he's changed it to Mav Feenman on Twitter. So it's catching on, and I'd love
Lou,
to see
are
more
you
than
catching
that.
This? Lou, are you catching this?
I'm catching it. I'm hearing it, Lima Charlie, and no, I'm probably not going to be changing. But I have invaded an island. But anyway,
Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. We'll be back on the Freedom Fiends. That's Freedom Foxtrot Echo Echo November Sierra. All NATO alphabet, all the time. Worms.
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 You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Watson, 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 come here, I need you. What hath God wrought? This is the first ever full show test of Fiend Phone, the software that's being developed by the Freedom Fiends in conjunction with Derek Slopey. He and I are working daily on tests and criteria and algorithms and methodologies, and it's working pretty cool, man. We got something here that's working better than Skype that we're going to give away free for podcasters, radio stations, and other, you know, voiceover people, filmmakers scoring films and having people voiceover, doing voiceover remotely. And it works pretty well. But Randy tortured me during the, he made me say the Pledge of Allegiance because we wanted to
twice.
We wanted to do a test where he hit the buff dump during a certain word so I could see if I heard it on my end. And yeah, man, Randy's making me stand in the corner and do things you do in grade school. Yeah, I don't like it. So, gentlemen, what say you, gentlemen?
Next time it'll be with a pointy hat next time.
The Minarchist dunce cap.
Yeah.
Or mini status.
Should I tell cap. On you that you didn't actually have it memorized?
Yeah, well, no, I was doing what kids do in school, like saying, and to the fag, one nation under cod. You know, I was being a bratty little 6-year-old, like 9-year-old, man. I was having fun with it.
Yes, you were being bratty.
One nation
well,
under Canada. But,
under Canada? Man, them's yeah. fighting words.
That's where Lou lives, right under Canada.
Oh, yeah, he does live right under Canada, in Michigan there.
Well, here's a little shocker for you. Windsor, Ontario is actually south of Detroit.
Yeah, isn't that weird? I saw that on
it is.
On that, you ever watch that show, How the States Got Their Shapes? It's a pretty cool show, actually.
That sounds kind of like Fun with Flags with Dr. Sheldon Cooper.
I really like Fun with Flags with Dr. Sheldon Cooper. I learned something on there. I learned that there's two countries that have the same flag. I forget which ones, but I looked it up. It's true, man. It is true. So you want to talk about some law here. Randy England is a lawman. No, he's a lawyer. He used to be a prosecutor. Thank you for your cervix. So tell me, what about law? There's some important law, actually important in how it harms us, how the state. Show me on the doll where the state touched us, Randy, please. What happened?
Well, the latest place where the state touched us is a new Supreme Court case. It's a couple weeks old, called Hine versus
Men in Dresses.
Hello?
Sorry, go ahead.
Men in Dresses, yes. The U.S. Supreme Court. Hine versus North Carolina, or Hyen. I don't know if I pronounced that right or not. But
what are the facts, counselor?
Long time ago, 5 years ago, these two guys are going along in North Carolina on the interstate, and one guy's driving the car, the owner's sleeping in the back seat, and a police officer, sergeant somebody or other, he thought they were kind of, the driver drove by him, thought it looked like the driver was kind of nervous from seeing him. So he started following them.
People should be nervous when they see a cop. It's a natural reaction. It's kind of like, you know, when a rabbit sees a cougar out of the corner of its eye or something, or a rabbit sees a coyote or a wolf, I'd say. Yeah, go on.
But then the cougar starts following the rabbit, see?
Let's not say
that's
cougar.
What happened
that means
in this.
Something else. Say coyote.
Say lion chasing a gazelle.
There you go.
How about the cop starts chasing them and is following the car and notices that when the car slowed down and the brakes came on, only one of the brake lights came on. The other one appeared to be out.
No.
I know. It's shocking. But he pulls them over for not having the taillight out.
I got to say, and, like the cops were wrong in this. I haven't even heard the facts, and the cops are wrong. But I would say that in a libertarian paradise where there was no charge for having your vehicle in any shape of disarray, I would still always have my vehicle in perfect shape with the brake lights working, and I would always wear a seatbelt. But that's just because I care about not dying. But, you know, people should have a right to die. So go ahead.
Yeah, so the cop pulls him over. He somehow ends up searching the car and finding drugs. And they always find some way to get to that once they pulled you over. And the guy who got caught, the owner of the car was the one that got stuck with it, I think. That's the high-end guy. And he pled guilty to the possession, I think it was, and reserved the right to appeal it. So he appeals his case to the Supreme Court in North Carolina. Oh, not the Supreme Court, Court of Appeals. And they said, hey, you're right. We're throwing your conviction out. Well, the prosecutor didn't like that. So he appeals that to the Supreme Court in North Carolina. And the Supreme Court says, no. That's wrong. We're throwing out the Court of Appeals decision, and your conviction stands.
And he said, I'm taking it to Daddy. Daddy will beat you up and for me.
Yes. So they went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court took the case to decide this. They found out later that it was not against the law that you only had to have one brake light. And they had one brake light, and the driver and the guy that owned the car had not broken any laws up to that point, and there was no reason to pull them over. And the question was, if the cop pulls you over for a reason that's not a real charge, if it's just one that he thought was against the law, but it wasn't, can he still stop you and bust you and send you to jail?
This is horrifying.
The answer to that turned out to be yes, he can.
So basically, ignorance is an excuse for the law if you're the law, is what that really comes down to.
Yeah, it really does.
So
now,
basically, the
often
cops,
had,
what this seems to say that the cops can search you anywhere, anytime, or pull you over anywhere, anytime. And if they later say that they think you are breaking the law, and then they search you and find something that's breaking the law, it's a solid catch, and they don't have to throw you back.
Well, the U.S. Supreme Court said it had to be a reasonable mistake of law. And they thought that it was reasonable. I guess they're saying that is that if the Supreme Court had been in that police car, they might have made the same mistake.
Oh, man.
Because it was a reasonable mistake to think that you have to have two taillights. The thing that I find kind of interesting about that is that cops actually study the traffic laws. They're supposed to know them inside and out, and the equipment laws and all that, whereas drivers, you know, they don't quite get so much training, and yet the drivers are expected to know the law, and the cops are not.
Oh, men in dresses, you're so silly.
Let me ask you a serious question on this here, Randy. What was the probable cause? What was the basis of the search other than having one tail light out?
You know, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know that.
Basis for it a
wasn't
search, is it?
No, that wasn't the issue in the case, and so they didn't decide on they decided that whatever it was enough to get into it. I'm not sure
they looked nervous.
How they ended up, what their probable cause was, but that was not an issue. And I don't know, you could only, if there was something there that the defendant could have hung his hat on, he would have. So, now, you know what happens in most of these cases? People say, the cops say, hey, you don't mind if I search your trunk, do you? And people have drugs back there, and they go, sure, go ahead.
And what's the proper response to that, counselor?
These people come to me, and I say, what were you thinking? And they say, well, I thought that if I was just cool about it, you know, and acted like I didn't care, the cop would not worry about it, and he'd let me go. Well, cops never do that. They never do that. I mean, they ask you to search something, and you say, yes, game over.
And what is the proper response?
No, you can't search my car. You can't search my pockets, my house, my purse, nothing.
My cat.
Ever. 9999.
Well, you know, and if the police have.
Let me ask you this, Randy.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Randy. There's sometimes police will try to be Richards and say, okay, you want me to get a warrant? I'll get a warrant. I'll get the drug dog out here, blah, blah, blah. How long are you supposed to wait in the event that a cop decides that he wants to take the Richard route?
Well, you have to wait as long as he's intending to hold you. So if you say, am I free to go, and he won't let you go, you have to wait forever.
Really? Because I've heard that there's some delineation around 40 or 45 minutes that has to be somewhere between person of interest or actionable cause, or I don't even know the wording, but is that true?
Sure. Well, yeah, there is a cutoff point, and whether it's 45 minutes or 30 minutes or something like that, if they have some reasonable suspicion to say, we're going to bring the drug dog out here, if they don't get that dog there within a certain number of minutes, then they may throw out the search. It has to be pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But the remedy of this thing is that you, no matter what the cop's judgment is, you know, if he's telling you you can't go, you can't go. Now, whether later on, if they find drugs in your car because they bring a drug dog there an hour later and he sniffs and smells something and they get it, you maybe get that case thrown out because they kept you too long. But that's not something that you can do anything about. The only thing you can do when you're stopped by the police is when they ask to search, you say no. Just flat out no. I mean, once they decide they can search and you say no, they'll search anyway. So you have no effect over that. You only have the right to give consent or withhold consent.
And I would you recommend, Randy, that people say no, even if they're absolutely sure there's nothing illegal in their car, right?
Well, of course, they should always say no. You know, I take seriously my duty to train police officers. And whenever a police officer would
does that involve biscuits?
If it helped, I would. But what I do is if they would say, can I search your car? I would say, well, no, of course not. And if that happened every time, and if everybody that's listening to me out there would do that, they would stop asking.
In America, your may vary in other nations. But go ahead, Lou.
Just say no, whether you have drugs or not.
Absolutely. Well, ask yourself this. You're there by the side of the road. The cop has kept you as long as he can kept you. He may have handed you your ticket already and said, oh, by the way, do you mind if I search your car? You could stop and ask yourself, okay, if I say no and he hadn't got anything else, he just has to say goodbye. If I say yes, will that get me on my way any quicker? And you know the answer is no. So even if you know you're clean, you got to be an idiot to give consent.
You don't know that your car is 100% clean unless it has never been out of your care and control. Like, you know, if you gave a ride to your wife's ne'er-do-well husband at some point, or, you know, some friend of a friend or something, who knows if he dropped a roach or something in the car, or who knows if the cops, you know, want to plant something in your car, or, you know, if they find a bullet casing in your front seat, they might go, oh, what kind of guns do you have? And then get in a conversation and kind of trick you or trap you into looking in your trunk and find out that, you know, your battle rifle has a what was the book Moulin Labe was all based on, like, a flash suppressor being mistaken for a silencer or something. And, you know, they'll arrest you anyway. And of course, it ended up with Wyoming seceding and getting the nuke, which was kind of cool. But we'll be back on the Freedom Fiends legal seminar with Counselor Randy England, Esquire.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
Freedom Fiends. So we're going to jump right back. That's the Wampus Cat. The Wampus Cat sounds better over Fiend Phone than over Skype. It's not all crunched down like Skype. So we're testing some software here that Derek Slopey made with my input. It's called Fiend Phone, and it's going to revolutionize podcasting and radio and internet radio and voiceover. But we're talking about real things. We're talking about law. So, Randy, we got sidetracked. We never really explained this case, Hine versus North Carolina. We never finished it. You want to finish that, sir?
Well, that's true. Lou had some good questions, so I won't blame him for that. But there's two things you want to think about. There's two kind of mistakes that a cop can make when he pulls somebody over.
Becoming
something.
Becoming a cop.
Yeah, all right. Now I'm not going to get done. You keep interrupting me here. But there can be a mistake of fact. like if a cop pulls a car over for not having any plates, say license plates, and then he gets up to the window and the driver says, hey, I got a temp tag up in the window, and the cop didn't notice it. Okay, the cop can go back, you know, we'll go back and look and say, oh, it's there. But then before the cop leaves, he notices there's a dead body laying in the back seat. Okay, a dead body, and then the cop's going, uh-oh. Well, that's okay for the cops.
I hate it when that happens.
They would say that the cop made a mistake about whether you did something or didn't do something, and just because it turned out that you did have a proper license tag,
for it was a temp body.
Tag in the window, you're going to prison for murder here, you know? But a mistake of a law would be different. Mistake of law would be like in the Hyen case where the cop stops the car for running a yellow light, say, okay, which he wrongly thinks is a violation. I thought of that because I had a cop who actually wrote a ticket for that once. Somebody deliberately ran a yellow light. I thought that's stupid. Now, that's not against the law.
Could someone literally get away with murder before or after this decision? Like, if the cop pulled him over because, you know, they had a Jeb Bush bumper sticker, and the cop thought that that was illegal, and he pulled the guy over and looked in plain view in the back seat and saw a dead body.
Okay, so here's the new scenario. Cop stops the car for seeing a Jeb Bush sticker, which he thinks is illegal, and he thinks that's a violation of the law. He walks up, and as he's about to come to the window, he sees the body in the back seat. Okay, under Hyen, probably the guy gets away with murder. Because remember I said earlier, the mistake of law has to be a reasonable mistake. And we're talking about one dumb cop here, okay? who that's not a reasonable mistake. According to the test of what if the Supreme Court was riding in the car with you too,
ew,
and would they have made the same mistake? And they probably would say, no, that wasn't a reasonable mistake of law, so that's not good cause to stop. The murderer goes free.
And it was North Carolina, and the cop probably would pull you over because the cop would think that it's illegal to have guys in dresses in your car in North Carolina.
And see, he'd be wrong about that too.
Let me play status advocate for a second. Being that you're in Missouri, what if somebody has a Ron Paul bumper sticker on their car and that cop has read something from the MIAC report?
He would. Well, that wouldn't be enough even in Missouri. But
even in Missouri.
it would be like the Jeb Bush sticker and that. That's probably not a reasonable mistake of law. It has to be something that a average intelligence cop,
that's a cop,
might screw, yeah, up,
which is what, and 4 points below, and 4 points below an average intelligent citizen or something.
Yeah, and
I'm not being mean there. I'm saying, like, they've actually, like, it's come out recently that cops have turned down people who want to be cops because their IQs are too high. Hey, Lou, turn up about 5%. This is a teaching hospital, but go on, counselor. Sorry.
Well, see, I forgot where I was there. Now, anyway, on the case, the Hyen case, you know, you have, so we're talking about a mistake of law where the cop can make a mistake as long as it isn't too big a mistake.
Don't you like how you can talk over the music better now than you could on Skype, too?
Am I talking over the music better now?
It sounds clear.
It seems the same from here.
Well, no, because on Skype, good. On Skype, the music would squish you down, and I wouldn't hear you, and the audience wouldn't hear you. Okay. We'll be back.
Well, we'll finish this up.
Yeah.
Go ahead. We will.
You go. No, you go. No. Okay, we'll finish this up an hour or two of the Freedom Fiends. We'll get into a discussion of Hyen versus North Carolina case, Supreme Court decision, men in dresses made a decision. And some women who look like men in dresses made a decision. With Counselor Randy Worms. England, Esquire. Worms. Hey, Lou. Worms.
Those are moo-moos.
Moo-moos. Okay. Worms.
Hey, there's some Squiskar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And UM's listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says Worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Jeep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Said it. Fiend Phone Three-Way Supreme Court. Fiend Phone Three-Way with the Supreme Court. That's going to be the title of this episode, and we're talking over Fiend Phone, a new product which is yet to be released. This is the first test of a three-way show. We got Randy England, we got Lucander Fiend, we got me, Michael Dean, and I'm just going to like sit down and answer some emails while you guys talk about law, because I just end up making jokes about cops and donuts. So we're talking about this thing. What case are we talking about, Randy, and what do you want to say about it, you guys?
The Hyen versus North Carolina, and we're talking about what happens when a cop makes a mistake of what the law is, and you end up having to pay for his mistake because he makes, say, an illegal stop because you did something that wasn't actually against the law, but he thought it was against the law, so he stopped you anyway. And the Supreme Court has said that in this new case that he can do that. You know, cops have long been excused for making mistakes of law in other areas, like in the sense of giving them immunity so that if they executed a search warrant that turned out to be illegal later, you wouldn't be able to sue them for that and that sort of thing. And that's, whatever you think about that, and I don't like it very much, this is much worse because, everyone's heard the legal maxim, ignorance of the law is no excuse. And now it turns out that isn't true when it comes to the police. Now, in fairness, vague laws, when you have a law that you just can't read and figure out what it means, and vague laws have never been enforced against anyone, really. If a law was vague enough, the courts would strike it down and your conviction would be reversed. And this is applying kind of a similar standard to the police. The problem with it is that when you're talking about a benefit of the doubt, just because a cop gets the benefit of the doubt regarding his own unavoidable error when it comes to punishing him for making a mistake, I mean, that hardly translates into a justification to make the wrongfully stopped defendant pay the price for the cop's mistake. And that's really what this is doing. You know, I guess if there's a bright side to the whole case, most statutes are not as ambiguous as this one was in this case. I mean, to be honest, you know, Lou, Mike, anybody that's listening, if you had been that cop, you
Mike,
might have thought
who's Mike?
That happened.
Wait, who's Mike?
What he's talking into his microphone.
Michael.
I must have no,
I'm Michael, brother.
Of course you are. I said Michael.
Are you going to blame it on Fiend Phone? Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
I'm blaming it on Fiend Phone.
Well, you're still working out the bugs, man. It dropped out. It dropped out in a very natural way, I guess.
Michael, you don't know me well enough for me to call you Mike.
Okay, Rand.
Is that what you said?
Rand.
Oh. Okay. I don't hate you enough to call you Mike. There How about go. That?
Thank you. It's easy to remember. Anyway, okay, here. Mike is the guy that checks your oil at the gas station. Michael is the angel that threw Lucifer out of heaven. You'll never forget it. All right, go on, sir.
that's right. Well, anyway, most statutes aren't this ambiguous. And what I was saying was that the mistake that the cop made, if you'll be honest, if you were that cop, you might have made the same mistake, right? I mean, you might have thought, hey, a taillight out, I can stop that guy. In most states, that would have been a stop. What's goofy with North Carolina? I don't know. And I apologize for anybody that's in North Carolina, but that's kind of odd that a guy is running around with a taillight out and the cops can't stop him. But now they can, of course.
Now, excuse me, Randy. Let's keep in mind that for our listeners there just coming in from Belle Fouche and Sturgis, it is legal to have one taillight out in North Carolina. So there is only a requirement of a single taillight.
Yes, well, there are some other statutes in North Carolina that would suggest that you can't have a lamp out, but the North Carolina Supreme Court, in their wisdom, had ended up deciding that that's not the case. And even though it looks like that could have been a violation, they decided that it was not a violation. The stop was illegal, but that was okay. This defendant was going to be punished anyway, and the stop was good, or the search was good, shall we say. The stop and the search were good.
Okay, and also the real problem here is this guy was caught with prohibited vegetation that the founding fathers had grown themselves back in their time.
Well, that would be another show. And actually, I don't think it was. I believe the search found cocaine.
Oh, I thought it was weed.
No, it was cocaine.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think America had relations with Peru yet. So the founders would have had that, but they didn't.
Well, maybe Washington was doing crack, and that's why he needed that tax money from the whiskey tax so bad.
Hey, they both grow in a plant, and the issue is exactly the same. You know, and it doesn't really matter what it was at all. It could have been anything they'd found that would have been illegal. I guess including the body in the trunk. I mean, in the back seat.
Any
of that could have gotten the driver or the passenger in trouble, and did.
Okay,
but Go ahead.
I'm glad that you brought that up again. And when it comes to searches, and we talked about this in the previous hour, that falls under the plain view exception. So if you could please give people a brief explanation of that and why they should keep dead bodies in the trunk instead of the back seat.
Oh, well, that's true. That's a good point. The plain view exception to the Fourth Amendment, there are lots of exceptions to the Fourth Amendment. Most of them, they're supposed to be based on being reasonable exceptions. And one exception that keeps you from having to have a search warrant when you want to seize something that belongs to someone else, and you're a cop, is the plain view exception, which means that if the cop is standing in a place that he's allowed to stand and seeing a place that he's allowed to see, and he sees evidence of a crime, he may seize it.
Yeah, but is he allowed to be somewhere before this case? Is he allowed to be standing next to a car he pulled over wrongly?
Before this case came out, one would have thought no. He had before this case came out, definitely you had to have proper cause to stop the vehicle that you later found evidence of a crime in. And if you were mistaken about the law and the guy driving the car had not done anything wrong in that regard, they would simply suppress the evidence and the case would be thrown out. And that is no longer the case, as long as the mistake of law is reasonable.
And reasonable is defined by the nine people in Moomoo's and depending upon their mood that day.
Right, and defined by, 10,000 judges in 10,000 courts, for starters, and then we go from there.
So 10,009 moo-moos.
But they're accustomed. They're accustomed. Well, they do all wear the dresses
to which they've become accustomed.
Yeah, they don't have a lei around their neck. They don't have flowers on their muumuus. It's so square.
And they're black. But, that's just, I mean, that's like funeral muumuus, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Also, in the first hour, we were talking about the time limits for a police officer to bring a dope-sniffing mutt to come check you out, because if he says, hey, I would like to search your vehicle, and being a good person that you are, you say, no, I do not consent to any search. And he says, okay, well, I'm going to call the dope sniffing mutt out here. And you said that there was generally, and it depends by which state level tax farm you're in, there is a reasonable amount of time for them to bring the dog out there. If they exceed that time, and let's say, you know, they did find something in there, let's say your ne'er-do-well son-in-law left a roach or a bullet, and you live in New York State or something like that. And anyway, what is the proper response to the police officer after you've been kidnapped and taken off to the dungeon?
The proper response is, I'm not going to say anything until I talk to a lawyer.
Exactly. Never volunteer anything. You're like the fox. The fox doesn't say Schumer because he has the right to remain silent.
He does. He does. Exactly. Now, you know, you were talking about the dope sniffing mutt, which of course is a technical term. You know, people should understand that to mean the drug dog, right? Is that right?
Yes. Yes. Hey, could you imagine being a puppy at the police breeding kennel, and you're like, man, I hope I get drug dog. I don't want to be a bomb sniffer. Oh man, let me get drugs.
Do you think they use rape stands to create those dogs? To breed those dogs?
It's definitely a possibility.
Yeah.
I'm not much into dog breeding, so you would have to explain that a little bit. It doesn't sound
It's nice. Something that came to the public's light when who was the sports guy, Michael Vick, was found to have been breeding dogs for dogfights. And one of the things they found was a rape stand, which is basically something that you strap a female dog to make it easier for, you know, the male dog that you pick to impregnate the dog.
Now, so was that like, part of his offense, like, or is
Lou?
Is that some part of his offense, or is that something that somebody would do if they wanted to breed a comfort dog or a therapy dog?
I think it's. I don't know that it was part of the offense, but it was part of the people were just shocked. It was part of the trying him in the court of public opinion was releasing that information. So,
well, yeah.
It's
kind of
like a doggy swing.
A doggy swing.
Dog breeders do that all the time, or is that just especially horrible ones that do that?
I don't know, man. I'm going to look it up while you guys talk about the Supreme Court, the Breedo Supreme Court.
And what does doggy consent sound like?
Well, if they're being bred to be police dogs, I think they learn to consent to their master no matter what. Yeah.
Now, going back to the questioning, how important is a confession to a police officer and a prosecutor if you get busted for something, and especially if they did not follow a proper procedure? Like let's say the requirement is 45 minutes to get the dope dog out there, and they take an hour and a half.
Well, if they take too long to get the dope dog out there, then and their search was based on the dope dog alerting to the drugs, then the case is gone. They're going to throw out the evidence, and without the evidence, there's no case. Even a confession would not save them then. The only thing that could save them would be consent, and you're not going to give that.
You don't get a rape stand consent in that case. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations, and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog The Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review The Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Freedom Fiends. So, Lou. Hey, Lou.
Yo.
What do you guys do in Detroit?
Well, I like to come on the Freedom Fiend show, and I usually play the air guitar during the bumps coming back and going out. But today I'm just sitting around scratching my SCOTUS, my Supreme Court of the United States.
I've been scratching my POTUS, not my SCOTUS.
Playing with your POTUS?
My FLOTUS here.
Okay, so let's continue with this discussion of this heinous new decision by the men in dresses, the SCOTUS.
Well, yeah, and we're probably I don't know. There's too much more to say about it. I think I was mentioning that they're going to have to. This is going to have to deteriorate quite a bit more before it's a huge problem, because most statutes aren't this ambiguous. But I'm just afraid that this is the camel's nose in the tent. Cops are being held to a lower standard, you know, in a sense, in this case. And as this exception grows, I'm thinking that it's going to get worse. And that part's bad, for sure.
Well, the government, meaning the judicial branch, just gave itself more power.
Yeah, and it was power that it didn't have, that the police didn't have before this case.
And just like everything else the government does, when they screw up, it's the common person that pays the price for it. It makes their life more miserable. It's like when they fix stuff.
I mean, you hit the nail on the head. The cop makes the mistake here, and you pay. Simple as that.
Yeah, you know, real interesting thing. Here in Michigan, open carry is legal, and there's some really stupid rules that go along with it. Like, if you're driving, or once you get into a vehicle, it's no longer open carry. It's called concealed carry. So if you're driving around Detroit, where carjacking originated from, and that's someplace where you would most likely need to have a firearm accessible, it's illegal to open carry in that regard because it's considered concealed carry. And I was having this conversation about concealed carry and cops harassing people for open carrying in public places. And this cop said, well, maybe the cops just didn't know the law. I'm like, well, isn't that their job? And he just looked at me like, oh, man, you got me. Yeah,
well,
it's pretty sad.
Job. They take classes. They have to take, I don't know how many hours they have to take, 400 hours
of
training.
You ever teach those classes, Randy?
Actually, I did teach a few of them once when I was a prosecutor.
That's what I thought. How was that? Hey.
Well, I told them what they were allowed to do and not do. I told them that, you know.
Did they listen respectfully because you were a prosecutor?
Well, yeah. I think so. The only things that I wasn't talking about how to you know, use your revolver. I was talking about legal issues, and I was a prosecutor.
Revolver. That was a long time ago. Revolver.
I like a revolver.
That's just their throwdown piece to plant on the unarmed victim. Now,
no, I don't have to keep track of that thing on the top that slides back and safeties.
I do too, but not many cops carry revolvers anymore. Although there's a couple in Wyoming I've seen sheriffs that do, but they're cowboys. So, Lou, what were you going to say?
I have a very serious question for Randy. Since you were a prosecutor, and were you the prosecutor, or did you just work in the prosecutor's office?
Well, I was not the elected prosecutor. I was an assistant prosecutor.
An ADA.
Okay. And so you're a full prosecutor in terms of, what do you want to say, your power and your job. But unless you're in a very, very tiny county, there will be additional assistant prosecutors appointed. And it's not elected. You're appointed. It's like being hired for a job. Okay. And, you know, I did that in a couple of different counties where I was the an appointed prosecutor and
All right.
never
now,
the
now
elected
the,
office holder.
Now for the million-dollar question. Are you ready?
No, but it's far away.
You were inside the computer. Why didn't you change the system from the inside?
I don't think you can.
Nah.
I wasn't even a legislator. All I could have done was quit.
But everybody keeps telling me. Everybody keeps telling me if you don't like it, you know, change the system from the inside. And there's like approximately 700,000 cops in the U.S. right now. I'm not positive on that number. It's something I saw recently. But there's 700,000 of them. Why haven't they changed it from the inside? You were a prosecutor. Why didn't you change it from the inside? Is this whole change it from the inside thing a fallacy?
Well, mostly. I mean, there were plenty of things that cops came to me with and demanded that I file it, and I refused to do it. I mean, at some point, some of these things would offend anybody's sense of fairness. But you can't really fix it from inside.
Worms.
I couldn't.
We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Now that the elections are over and liberty has slipped even further away, it's time to try yet another political organization. Campaign for a Longer Leash is a nonpartisan group of pups and dogs dedicated to fighting for longer leashes for all. We're not talking about no leashes, that would be catarchy. We just want the limited leash that the Hounding Fathers promised us. As Bone Barklin once said, a longer leash, if you can keep it, ma'am. For more info, go to facebook.com/campaignforalongerleash.
Give me a raucous cat.
Wow.
That was a good Wampus Cat. Give me another Wampus Cat there, Randy. All right, so
we're back.
We're done with news you can use about how you're abused, and we're going to step on to Lou's got a topic about how the government is unraveling and it's not even respecting its own anymore. So what you got, Lou?
And this story comes to us out of New York City.
New York City.
Yeah. The NYPD has decided that they don't like Bill de Blasio anymore. So
who's that?
Bill de Blasio is the communist mayor of New York City. And when I say communist mayor, I'm not trying to insult him. He is a full blown commie.
Yeah, this guy is like somewhere far to the left of Nancy Pelosi.
To the far left of Nancy Pelosi, I'm big time. So essentially, and this is if I put on my "it's the law, obey the law" and all that other stuff, you know, instead of the NYPD saying, you know, screw the mayor and turning their back on him, maybe they should start respecting his authority. Because at the funeral for the two killed police officers that they just had recently, his image and his speech was put on a monitor, and there were a couple hundred cops outside, and they all turned their back on him.
Aww.
as a show of disrespect.
Did it hurt his feels?
I don't know, and I don't care if that did.
Okay,
but anyway, so
and so, who's the good guy there? The cops or him?
Nobody. Nobody. It's government. Yeah, there is no good guy.
It's good. Forget it. It's government town.
Yeah, it's but it gets town. Even better. There's a guy named Lynch, and he's the union thug for the police department there. And I can't remember what the name of it is, the Malignant Order of Cops or something like that. I can't remember. But anyway, he's our union president. And he, the union guy, not the mayor, not the city council, not the chief of police, the commissioner, or anything like that. The union thug has declared the NYPD to be a wartime police department.
Wow. Well, wasn't it Bloomberg?
And I can't.
Wasn't it Bloomberg who bragged that he had the seventh biggest army in the world, and he was describing the NYPD?
Yeah, something like that. But anyway, the union thug says that they're now a wartime police department. I can't tell the difference between wartime and peacetime. because they're still, you know, they're still just a bunch of thugs. And also because they're mad at de Blasio. And I guess when he showed up to the hospital to pay, you know, pay his respects or check on, you know, the shot officers, as he was walking down the hallway, the cops that were standing in the hallway turned their backs on him, too.
Why don't they like him?
Oh, that's very interesting. Mr. de Blasio, his wife is black and he has an interracial child. And in a interview a few months back, he said that he had to talk to his son about how to deal with the police being a person of color.
So he basically
he is a responsible father.
Yeah. Yeah. He taught his kids to fear the police. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, as everybody should. And I've said this before. I don't think that blacks are targeted out of racial hatred. I think it's because poor blacks, poor whites, poor whatever it is.
Yeah.
Well, they're less likely to make complaints. They're less likely to know their rights, and they're less likely to be taken seriously by the general public when they do make a complaint. So it's not about racial hatred. It's more about being predators. It's like the lion. The lion doesn't hate the gazelle because he's a different species. You know, the lion eats the gazelle because the lion's a predator. They like easy prey.
Yeah.
What if the gazelle resists?
Then the lion says, "Stop resisting," and it sounds something like the Wampus Cat. But now the police have decided that not only are they not going to pay attention to the mayor, which, by the way, if they were in the military and they refused to obey their commanding officer, meaning the mayor, they'd all be strung up for insubordination. They'd probably get jail time, Article 15, maybe some court martials, and it would probably be considered mutiny. But anyway, yeah. But they're their own army, so it's not like they're going to go arrest themselves. But anyway,
I wonder if the mayor is their commander in chief.
Well, I mean, if you look at the nonsense that they teach us in civics classes, the police are there to serve and protect. They're not, but that's what they tell us. And there is a chain of command, meaning the mayor and the city council, who directs them on how to do this, you know, protecting and serving the living daylights out of people, which actually means revenue generating and locking people up. But there's an interesting article, and this is from filmingcops.com, and the title is "Policing Comes to a Stop in New York. People Get Along Peacefully and Society Continues." Because two cops got murdered and the police think that everybody's targeting them, which they're not, but they're of the battle mindset that they're all, you know, being targeted, that everybody hates their guts and everybody wants to assassinate him and all this other crap. They've decided that they're going to police differently. They've demanded that two units respond to all calls, and they're also ignoring minor crimes.
That's a jobs program right there. Two units respond to every crime because they'll need
two
units.
What's a unit?
That's a car, man. It's one or two men in a car. That means they're gonna have to double.
Oh, it's not like two cops.
No, it could be two. It's two cars. They could have one or two or three or 10 cops in them, like a clown car. But basically, that means they're going to need to double the number of police cars in New York City, which is, you know, a burden on the taxpayers. And it's also, think about the congestion of traffic in New York City. They're basically saying, we're going to create gridlock because we decided we have to.
But it's gotten better. It's gotten better. They've stopped enforcing the, was it the low level crime, so to speak? And it says
the
low level.
You mean like selling individual cigarettes, those low level crimes?
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, I guess the Post reported some statistics. Angry police union leaders have ordered drastic measures for their members since December 20th assassination of two NYPD cops in a patrol car, including that two units respond to every call. It has helped to contribute to a nosedive in low-level policing, with overall arrests down 66% for the week starting December 22nd compared with the same period in 2013. Stats show citations for traffic violations fell by 94% from 10,069 to 587 during that time.
That's a work slowdown.
hang on. Summonses for low-level offenses like public drinking and urination also plunged 94% from 4,831 to 300. Even parking violations are way down, dropping by 92% from 14,699 to 1,241. Drug arrests by cops to the NYPD's Organized Crime Control Bureau, which are part of the overall number, dropped by 84% from 382 to 63. The Post obtained the numbers hours after revealing that cops were turning a blind eye to some minor crimes and making arrests only when they have to, since the execution-style shootings of officers Rafael Ramos and Wenjian Liu.
So basically, they're going to double the police. They're going to double the police budget, and New York City will return to its 1970 glory of being a urine-soaked hellhole.
Well, yeah, they're proving the fact.
What's that, Randy?
The only thing that they're enforcing, it sounds like, are the real crimes. The victimless crimes are being disregarded, and they may be onto something here.
But wait, what? Let's take it even further, because they're not doing the citations for traffic violations in the parking and all this other revenue generating type stuff. They're bleeding themselves dry.
So they're going to go out of business, basically. It's going to be like the Soviet Union. It didn't come down because Reagan yelled at it. It came down because people wanted freedom and because they ran out of money.
Yeah, Levi Strauss and Billy Joel took down the Berlin Wall.
Billy Joel, yep. I think Bon Jovi, didn't he?
He was still kind of new.
David Hasselhoff sang on the Berlin Wall when they were taking it down, I think. But that's kind of like jumping in front of the parade. Yeah, it was Billy Joel and Bruce Springsteen, man.
Yeah. Well, David Hasselhoff could take down a wall, too, or build up one twice as high. But here's a really interesting thing. Let me read this again. Angry police union leaders have ordered drastic measures for their members since December 20th, blah, blah, blah. Why are union leaders ordering police on how to do their job? I mean, isn't that the purpose of the chain of command?
Yeah, that's a good point, man. Crazy, what happens when you have a government monopoly on protect and serve.
So let me ask you this. If the police have decided that they can ignore the local government, doesn't that mean anarchy is broken out?
Sort of. It kind of sounds to me more like it's been a military coup if they're considering themselves the military.
Yeah, well, is kind of anarchy because they're rejecting, you know, the so-called legitimate authority. And with the NYPD being the seventh largest military in the world, you know, with I think it's like 35,000, 36,000 strong. Yeah, that's definitely a military coup. And this guy Lynch from the Malignant Goon Squad Fund or whatever it is.
That's the brotherly and malignant.
Okay. Squad. All right. Well, anyway, he kind of reminds me of a Castro getting ready to take out Batista.
And the NYPD has 51,000 employees, by the way.
Okay. But most of those are probably
paper pushers.
A significant portion of them. Yeah. Not all are shooters. Most of them are support staff.
They have 40,000. Well, this is stats from June 2004, which has probably gone up quite a bit since then. There were 40,000 sworn officers. And the total was, what did I say, 51,000 people? Yeah.
Yeah. So what's going to happen when people get used to not being hassled over all this nanny stuff, you know, like when they can walk around with a 32-ouncer of soda and not get hassled for it? What's going to happen when the cops say, holy cow, we need revenue, otherwise we're not going to be able to pay ourselves off?
Liberty will break out.
Yeah, so it's just absolutely stupid. Here's a thought for you. If an NYPD cop tells you that you have to do something or starts talking to you and you turn your back on him, what do you think he's going to do?
Beat you up and kill you.
He's going to beat you to death, or he's going to shoot you, or he's going to pepper spray or tase you, or he's going to inflict some form of violence on you, and he's going to say, respect my authority, and then he's going to go and say, oh, and screw the mayor.
Yeah. We'll be back for the redemption in the third act after this pause for a cause on the Freedom Fiends. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. Creamy radio audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends. So this is a redemption in the third act. We're actually going to do a tweak and review and recap and comment on the three stories we covered tonight. First of all, well, actually, there's four stories. One is we're using Fiendphone on a three-way call, and it's working pretty darn well, and that's amazing. I just want to say, Watson, come here, I need you. And what hath God wrought? Do you guys know what those things are?
Well, those are the first words spoken over the telephone, supposedly. Yeah.
Watson, come here, I need you is the telephone, and what hath God wrought, I think, was the first thing sent over radio, telegraph, telephone from one state to another. I don't know, but I feel like that. I feel like we just built the roads, man, Derek Slopey and I.
Those words were spoken by Leonardo da Vinci.
Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah, he invented the telephone, right?
Oh, you're right. Never mind. I was.
That's like 400 years before the telephone, man. You were wrong.
I was so wrong.
Okay, so that's
well, Lou didn't say anything, so he's not wrong.
That's story number one. Story number two is Stefan Molyneux has gone full on statist, and we're trying to figure out why. My theory, you were thinking he had like a brain tumor or something. My theory is that I think he's trying to become the new Glenn Beck. I think he's realizing that anarcho-capitalist 17-year-olds who are just moving out of their parents' house because he tells them to don't have enough money to donate. So I think he's trying to go after, 50-year-old people with jobs who kind of don't like the government but think it can be fixed. Like I really think he's trying to turn into the new Glenn Beck, man. What do you guys think?
Well, I think that if he wants to do that, he should convert and become an evangelical or something.
Yeah. Lou?
Is he going to be a neocon? What is it?
What do you think, Lou?
I think he's moving towards a neocon. He had Ellen West on his show. That's retired Colonel Ellen West. And I believe he was forced out of the military for, how could we put it, rough treatment of Muslims over in the Middle East. He was just a little bit too bloodthirsty. Don't quote me 100% on that, but I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
I think that makes you a conservative hero these days, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. 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 Hey,
did he advise them to defoo their general or something? Or?
Hey, I'm a hardcore conservative. I hate the government, but I sure love the government enforcers, police and military all the way.
He looks like the black Dilbert, man. He looks exactly like Dilbert. I'm looking at his picture right now. Yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah. His head is square on top, kind of.
Yeah, he got in trouble for a Iraq interrogation incident is what it's called here. But we digress. We don't need to go into his whole bona fides, as they say, for being a right wing, being one of the kings of the right wingers. So what was the second topic? It was the SCOTUS and how the SCOTUS has decided, the Supreme Court has decided that police can now pull you over for being wrong, arrest you for something else they see, and then not have to say I was wrong. Comments, gentlemen?
Ignorance of the law is now an excuse
if you're a cop.
If you have a shiny badge.
I talked to somebody about that legal maxim earlier, and they were poking fun at me because I couldn't remember the Latin version of it. Now, is that fair?
No. Was it an attorney?
As not an excuse either, Randy.
Ignorance of Latin is no excuse.
Well, that I agree with that. I have no excuse. I didn't know what to say. I said, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
So I might have been able to do it back when I was a prosecutor, but I've tried to forget all that. did you know that when I was a prosecutor, prosecutors are referred to as the honorable. Did you know that?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
More lies.
In one of C.S. Lewis's book, there was a character who was the head of the local government or something. And I love the fact that the title of honor that you were supposed to afford this dignitary was his sufficiency. I kind of like that.
Good enough for government work. Good enough for government work. Yeah.
His inadequacy. Yes, your adequacy. Yes. Yeah. I love that.
Well, guys, thanks for...
Oh, we're out of time.
Thanks for testing the fiend phones. Go ahead, Lou.
And in New York City, the NYPD has turned into Somali warlords because they're not respecting the civilian government oversight that's actually over them. They have taken over and they're fighting to become the new state.
Yeah, if they don't like what they can get away with in New York, they should move to Somalia.
They should move to Somalia no matter what.
Maybe we should start
good night, folks.
Let's start a Kickstarter.
See you next time.
Let's start a Kickstarter to move the NYPD to Somalia. Worms.
Kick-a-doodle-doo.
Thanks, gentlemen.
It was a pleasure being had.
It was a pleasure being had, gentlemen. Thank you for your service.
Go take care of your SCOTUS.
My FLOTUS.